Broadcasting live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Happy hump day. It's Carmen and Yurk. And off we go live in the old National Bank State Street studio. Hit us up on Twitch, everybody. You can join the chat there, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Of course, you got the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and dial. Let us know your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Let's see. We got Twitter, at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J in the number 64. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. I mean, there's a lot of ways, kid. A lot of ways. Get interactive with us.
I'm excited, man.
On this Wednesday, Black and Abdallah are here. They're also going to be on tonight, 6 until 8. Oh, God. What did Black say last night? He had me rolling for a little bit. Oh,
I don't know. What did he say?
When Black said, can I ask a question? Is there really an internal fight at this radio station over who's going to own Jack Sanborn right now? And I'm like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, did you guys hear that,
like,
too?
The Waddle and Sylvie show and the Cap and Jay Hood show.
I'll
like,
tell you.
Are they really fighting over Jack? He's a great story. Jack, I love it. Yeah, but, like, we're fighting Sanborn. Over Jack Sanborn?
My God.
Like, what?
That's a fight Carmen and I went, oh, dang, okay.
You guys, go ahead, guys.
Settle it up, fellas.
Go ahead.
Settle it up. All of us are in the middle going, all right, we'll watch.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I love Jack Sanborn, but I'm like, I don't think we need to fight. Over
you're just going
to
walk off. In with the pool cue, snap it in half, and go figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Figure it out.
To the death.
Yeah.
Whoever bleeds out loses.
Well, the best was Cap saying to Shane, we better get Sanborn or else.
Or else what?
Or else I'm going to go home and I'm going to cry.
Are they doing like the Channel 4 news team versus
essentially
PBS and Spanish language news and
West
Mantooth? Like, what's happening? Yeah. Are they going to go in the back in the alley and are they going to have a grenade fight?
You know those ratings are subjective.
Right.
Yeah. I think you had the wrong movie.
I think you've
drawn a comparison to the wrong movie.
What's the movie I should be thinking?
The comparison you need is Dodgeball. He's White Goodman. That's who he is.
Nobody,
right there.
Nobody makes Cap bleed his own blood.
That's
no
right.
100%.
Yeah.
I was, make me book my own guest.
That was funny, man. So, yes, Black and Abdallah will be back with funny stuff tonight after Waddle and Sylvie from 6 until 8. So
that's
we got local
movie.
Programming for the rest of the day. Yes, that's the movie. Good
Dodgeball.
Call, Yurko. We're here to talk Bears. Week 11 in the NFL, we're going to get an injury update and just talk more about what happened Sunday and the matchup this week and the direction of this team the rest of the year with Courtney Cronin in 30 minutes. We'll maybe sneak in, Bulls have a game tonight on the road against the Pels, who play the second of a back-to-back. Some baseball free agency stuff starting to heat up a little bit. There's some rumors connecting the Cubs to Carlos Correa, kind of interesting. But lots of Bears, lots of NFL. And I think they continue to sort of straddle this fine line of, like, we want to build some confidence and success within the players that we believe in, the players that are going to be here going forward. I don't know how many players that is, to be honest. Is that 20 players? 25 max? Like Yurko always says, you're probably changing over half your roster anyway every year or close to it. I don't know how many players that is. We might be talking about 15 players. They're young draft picks and some of the second-year guys that they really believe in. Like, how many guys are truly part of this organization when they're good again? Even if that's as soon as next year. If it's 15 or 20 guys, like, how do you build some confidence amongst those guys while at the same time trying to put yourself in a position where you can help your rebuild by getting a good draft pick next year, by having a lot of money to spend in free agency? They've already checked that box by trading guys away. So I think it's this interesting line they continue to straddle. You're trying to serve both masters, sort of. That gets tough. I think it's tough for fans. You know, Sunday's game left a lot of us with a little bit of a weird feeling. You not as much. You're definitive. The Bears should have won when it was over. I'm like, how do you blow a 2-touchdown lead to the Lions? But within the hour, I was like, well, they're picking 6 next year. So it's a very weird push and pull right now, I think, for fans.
I think the difference
else.
Is I know the improvement's coming with the quarterback. I could see the improvements coming with the quarterback. And then, you know, what are your next steps of improvement? That's what I start looking for. All right, I've seen some improvement. Now it's time to take a next step improvement. Does winning belong with a little bit of that improvement? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, so part of this process with him improving is that the offense is a lot better and it's scoring some more touchdowns. It's a little bit more productive in the red zone. Fantastic. That's great. Now I need a little bit more improvement the next half, say the second half of the season, whatever portion of the season this is. They have seven games left. All right, now I'd like to see a couple of victories here. You know, nobody thought Washington was beat the living H out of Philadelphia, but they did.
Right? Yeah, they did, man.
And Washington was a team that you were manhandling. And what happened? Nothing. Okay? So here comes Washington, and Chico Rivera's in a different situation. He's got to find a way to win. Okay? But they're playing with a quarterback who wasn't their quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Backup mostly.
They're doing it with a backup quarterback.
They won't even commit to benching him now that Wentz is getting healthier.
You can't. You'll have a mutiny in the locker room.
You realize
it's not like Carson Wentz has ever done anything for the Washington Redskins or any of those players.
So Tampa, by virtue of just the tiebreakers right now, at 5-5 is the seventh seed.
Right.
Washington's 5-5.
Yes.
That team's like squarely in the hunt, oddly.
Squarely in the hunt. Those teams that are in the hunt.
And Chase Young's coming back.
Shockingly enough, have found a way to beat the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, right. And Chase Young's coming back.
Yep.
You know, the Bears are dead last in the conference right now by virtue of the tiebreakers. 16th in the conference.
Yes,
Bears right are 16th.
Now, yep. Which has got a pretty good pick for them then.
Sixth pick right now.
So there's five worst teams in the AFC?
Well, that might have changed. Hold on.
Yeah, because you know why?
Well, no, it probably didn't because Washington would have been ahead of them anyway. Here, let me get the latest. Hold on.
Washington is ahead of the Bears. That's not it. I'm talking about.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I bet it didn't change.
Right. Worst in the NFC, but there's five worst AFC teams than the Bears for the Bears would be picking fifth.
Unless for some reason, if .com is not putting the tiebreakers in here, they normally do. They've got the Bears. Here's the crew. At 3-7. You ready?
Yeah.
The Panthers, the Saints, the Bears. The way they have it listed, I'm assuming they've put the tiebreakers in to give you where the standings currently, you know, what they currently represent.
Right.
And it could be because the Bears, I'll tell you why the Bears are last in the conference. You want to know why? They're 1-6 in the conference.
Yeah, that's why they would be last.
They're last.
Yeah.
New Orleans is 2-4. Carolina's 3-5. The Bears are dead last in the conference. So, to answer your other question, Yurko, did anything change after the Monday Nighter? And it probably did.
And about AFC, I'm not worried about the Monday Nighter. It was all NFC teams, all with better records than the Bears.
Yeah.
So, all I'm worrying about,
God, they're five worst NFC teams?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm wondering. Are there five worst AFC teams? And the answer would obviously have to be yes.
Let's see. Houston, 1-7, yes.
Vegas,
2-7, yes. Jags, 3-7. How do you start doing the tiebreakers across the divisions?
Denver's 3-6. They're not.
Yeah.
And then there's another
Denver doesn't have its pick.
Cleveland's 3-6, 3-6. But that's why I'm saying after the byes, we'll go back and we'll assess and we'll take a look and see exactly where the Bears are.
Yeah.
And again, they don't need a quarterback, but they can use that position for somebody that wants to trade up for a quarterback and finally fleece another team as opposed to being fleeced themselves.
Yeah. So the Bears are going to have a high pick probably at this rate. And now it's just like, how much do you want them to keep that? And when would you like to still at least enjoy a Sunday where they actually win a game? They've got a very winnable game on Sunday in Atlanta. They have a winnable game, dare I say. Maybe not as much. I think the Jets are going to be a feisty opponent at home. I think the Jets can really play defense. I think Robert Saleh's got that team believing a little bit too, Yurk, after his early season rant, you know, about he kind of pulled like a Klay Thompson. He pulled the Warriors. He's like, we're taking receipts. But that team has seemingly responded for him. That's going to be a tougher game than I think anybody would have imagined going in there next week. That's a team that's got some talent on both sides of the ball and really has some talent on defense.
Yeah, JETS, Jets.
Yeah.
Your question is, do all four teams in the AFC East make the playoffs?
In the AFC East.
AFC East.
I'm going to say the Patriots miss the playoffs.
Okay, but right now they're tied for the seventh spot.
Yeah.
With two other teams being San Diego, I believe, and the Cincinnati Bengals.
I think you're right. Yeah. They're all 5-4.
Right.
Yeah.
All three at 5-4. What's their conference record? Oh,
the Bengals have the worst conference record right now.
So they'd be out.
They'd be out.
The Bengals would be the one that's out. And then who's the other one?
Chargers.
Chargers are 4-2. It's the identical.
Yeah.
Identical. And I don't know if they go to division record after that, but or head-to-head. It would be head-to-head, right? If they somehow play head-to-head.
I think head-to-head's the first, and then they go outside the realm into like conference and division records and things like that. Yeah. So if you want to talk Bears with us today, ring us up. You know, the Justin Fields conversation continues to be a fascinating one. I mean, he's sort of a fascinating player right now. He's very much becoming can't miss TV. He still has a long way to go as a pocket passer. It's hard to really, I don't know if I want to say totally buy in, but I mean, because I'm believing in the kid's talent. I think he's got the potential to be really right. good. It's hard to like be a total believer, though, in any sort of long-term sustained success when you're throwing for 120 yards a game. You really can't do that and win in this league. Not anymore. It's just you just can't. You can't complete two balls for 13 yards in the fourth quarter when you need points and expect to win. You can't be an offense that can't average 130 passing yards a game and expect to win. Can't do it. I don't care how good your quarterback runs the football. First of all, a couple things are going to happen. At some point, a team will definitively take it away, and your quarterback's going to get seriously hurt if he's not careful and if you're not careful. So you can't throw for 128 yards a game and expect to win.
When they want to stop the quarterback from running, they can.
Yeah.
Hey, they can come in there with a vanilla game plan, come in there, and, okay, dare your quarterback to go ahead and run the ball all day and beat us that way. And if he is, once we get to the fourth quarter and those key possessions at the end of the game, now we're not going to allow that to happen. That's easier to stop than a guy that can gunsling the ball all over the place.
We're on the verge of seeing that, don't you think? Yeah. Maybe not with Atlanta, because Atlanta's rush defense is terrible. But at some point, aren't we going to come across a team and a coaching staff that has now got a month's worth of tape on Justin Fields, and they're going to go, no, we're not going to let it happen.
What they're going to do,
we will definitively stop
it. What they're going to do is say, hey, we're heading to the playoffs. We've got to win this game. I do not want to give this team any life whatsoever coming out of the box. And we will frustrate the living H out of it. And I think the more success Justin Fields, he's not unlike a lot of players. The more success you have early in the game, the more confidence you start to build. Mm. The more confidence you start to build, the better you start playing overall. Whereas if you see that from the outside looking in, then what you tell yourself is, aha, no, I'm going to crush him early. I'm going to get on him early, and I'm going to have him down on himself, and then have him try to fight out of being down on himself early on. I won't give him that early success where he can build confidence, build confidence, build confidence. I'm coming after him. I'm shutting him down. I'm going to frustrate him. I'm going to bring blitzes off the corners. The thing that's made him good is when it looks like he's trapped and it looks like he's going to give up a sack, he finds a way to reverse pivot out, and the next thing you know, he's gaining positive yardage. And that is a very frustrating thing for defenses to have to play against.
Might not be this week again, because the matchup could be good for the Bears. Atlanta's rush defense is 28th in expected points. The defense just as a whole has not been very good. They've had some key injuries, including A.J. Terrell, but they've got the lowest pressure percentage in the NFL. They've got the second fewest number of sacks in the NFL. The Bears, we know, don't pressure the quarterback very well. They only have two more sacks as a team than the Atlanta Falcons do. The Bears don't stop to run very well. We could go over the 50 here, Yerk. Is it four straight overs, I believe, now for the Bears? We could be looking at a fifth. And the overs are starting to go up. You know what the over is for the Bears game? It wasn't too long ago. They were 42.
49 and a half.
It's 50.
50.
Good call.
Yeah.
Wasn't too long ago. There were 41s and 42s painted across the board, and now we're looking at 50 this week in Atlanta. Good, you know, fast surface, climate controlled. Mariota in that rush offense, Fields in his rush offense.
You got a Bears defense that hasn't been able to stop anybody for one reason or another.
Neither
after
team.
Some success earlier in the year, at least adjusting in the second quarter to help stymie some football teams.
Neither team could see another offensive explosion this weekend.
Well, it didn't look that way 10-10 at half.
That's true.
I mean, you're 7 minutes into the third quarter and it's still 10-10. You're scratching your head if you're an over better.
Yeah.
And then things went crazy.
But then it went crazy. The fourth quarter went crazy, and we could see another over coming up this weekend in Atlanta with these two teams and these two defenses. 312-332-3776. You can talk Bears with us. Ring us up. Get an update from Hallis in like 15 or 20 with Courtney Cronin. I'll tell you what Eberflus said about the Khalil Herbert injury. That's unfortunate, as we were singing his praises, as we often do earlier this week. At least four games now where Khalil Herbert's going to be shut down, as they had to put him on IR. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Back to work Wednesday for the Bears. Probably practicing in the dome today, Yurko, with this weather. We'll talk to Courtney Cronin in like 15 minutes. Bears go to Atlanta in week 11. Let's go to Flex in Minneapolis, who wants to talk Bears. What's up, Flex?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, look, man, we got to start showing Tevin Jenkins some love, man. Look,
This guy just came off a major back surgery, and if anybody had a back spasm, know what it'll do to bring tears to your eyes. He was talked about in training and mini camp. Oh, we need to get rid of this guy. Showed up in the first three preseason games, moving his assignments 3 or 4 yards off the line of scrimmage. Now he's doing it to number ones. Let me ask you this. When the last time you heard his number called? 76. No, we can't. Let's see.
Flex, you didn't hear it in the last game because he didn't play.
Oh, well, he played in a Dolphins game because his back was still hurt.
100% did. He played in the Dolphins game.
Sure
he played
did.
Every game previous to that. I'm just saying, the last game he was out because of an injury. So we didn't hear him in that game.
How do you know his back
I'm
is hurt?
Well, that was the thing that kept him out. Yeah, I got you, Flex. He's been wonderful. He's been a right guard. He's been a stud.
I think everybody's been pretty complimentary of what they've done.
But what does he do somewhere, what does he do in the locker room? What does he do on the field? What does he do in private one-on-one meetings with coaches that they were substituting him early in the year? They were bringing him in and out. There's something that somebody's got a problem with the way that he acts one way or the other, not being related to football, the actual player on the field. There's got to be something with him because he's ruffled some feathers up there.
But what is he there for, to play football? And this kid is still essentially a rookie.
Yeah.
Think about it. He's still a rookie. Look what he's doing, man. I mean, look, I'll take 5 Kevin Campbell, Kevin Jenkins rookies now, knowing that year that this guy's going to get number upside.
No, listen, but I agree with him. I agree with him. He's a hell of a player. But, no, at the beginning of training camp, he didn't want to participate. There was a lot of cries for him to get to hell gone.
But that was like 12 weeks ago.
Yes,
14 weeks ago.
It was a long time ago. But they were still subbing him out in the first 4 weeks.
That's true.
When they had enough healthy bodies, they were going to start Schofield, for heaven's sake, in front of them.
I kind of feel
worse, Lucas Patrick.
I kind of feel like everybody's come around on Tevin Jenkins.
Well, the last 2-3 weeks only. And again, nobody mentioned him anyway. Yeah, about the last 3 weeks, Carm.
And I hope his back's not bothering him still. That's not what landed him on the inactive report.
Third week October is when they came around on Tevin Jenkins.
Oh, all right. That's a month ago. I mean.
Yeah, 1/3 week. I mean, it's 3 weeks ago, actually.
3 weeks ago. Yeah. All right. It wasn't a back injury that landed him on the inactive.
What's he on the inactive?
He had a hip injury last week. So I hope his back's not bothering
him. What's the hip bone connected to, the back bone?
Elbow bone? No, that'd be weird.
No, it's the back bone. The hip is connected to the back, Carm.
You don't think his back's bothering him, do you? I hope.
Well, I don't know. It could be shooting out there. You never know.
I think Tevin Jenkins has been a nice revelation. Yeah,
at the beginning of the season, there were question marks. There were criticisms. He was getting rotated in. And now what has he done? He's proven on the field that he's one hell of an offensive right guard.
I guess to everyone's credit.
PFF said it.
Oh, yeah. They gave him the third best rating last month.
I think PFF's full of crap, but I know that means something to you.
I mean, I know. It's not the end-all be-all, but you can look at their grades and say, hey, you get into kind of an idea. Guess who the number one graded guard is in PFF's report?
Will Shields.
The best guard in football.
Not Will Shields?
So it's not that much. It's like people are like, well, Glenn I don't have Nelson. To look at OPS, really. Maybe look at like the best player. Like, tell me the five best players of all time. Joel Bitonio.
Yeah,
he's the best guard
Cleveland.
In football.
The kid from Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay, I got
Guess
you.
Who's got the best grade? Joel Bitonio.
Who's got the third best grade?
So like everybody, like if I, one of the angry callers who wants to rail against OPS, like, okay, name me the five best players of all time. They'll name Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle. They're the five best players in the history of baseball in OPS. Like, it kind of makes sense, folks.
It correlates.
Yeah.
It's correlation.
There's a pretty good correlation.
I got you, Carl.
So the PFF grades can sometimes be a little useful.
Let's talk
But I think Tevin has been, again, to his credit and to the organization's credit, they have found a way to make it work.
To Flex's point was there were a lot of people that were on him early in the year.
Okay, well, I mean, look, the Bears were trying to trade him, but they've all come together to make it work.
They got lucky they didn't trade him.
Yeah, maybe they did, but
he's a people mover.
I think that you can give credit to both sides here and say the player and the organization did the right thing, and they're getting the most out of him, and he's without question played very well. Tim's in Midlothian on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
What's going on, boys? Just want to say I'm not being argumentative when I say this, Carm. I just want like an honest discussion with you guys because I respect your football opinions. But with the Bears putting up 30 points a game, what does it really matter if he's throwing for 150 or 200 or 300 yards? If the points are going in and it's because of the offense,
okay.
That's fair. I would just say it's not sustainable this way, Tim. I would put it that way.
Yeah, that's all I would say.
Right?
Oh, I agree there, and especially with him running so much. I thought he almost got killed when he went in the end zone last week.
That's the fear, exactly.
And the quality teams, the best teams in the league, can score when they have to.
Mm. Agreed.
And this team, when it has to score, has found a way to struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they've moved the ball. Remember early on they moved the ball, but then they couldn't punch it in?
Yeah.
All right. Now they haven't been able to move the ball.
Yeah. Now they're punching it in.
Now they're punching it during the whole process of the game. But when it's time to go ahead and move the ball and get in field goal position, they haven't been able to get in the field goal position.
So it's almost like defenses will just stack up on them, make them throw the ball, and that's where you're struggling.
I think that's the problem, that this is a kind of an unsustainable path to being a 30-point per game kind of team. It's great in this window that they're in, but I just don't know, without becoming a more efficient passing offense, if you can sustain that. Tim, thanks for calling, bud. That's the thing. Yerk's right. If you go back and start tracking, not just this year, but if you want the data sample to build and start looking at the offenses that historically, even in the last 5 years, are very good, you're going to find good quarterback play and teams that can be explosive in the passing game. And if you can't do that in this league, it's probably tough to really sustain any sort of long-term offensive success.
And your quarterback's developing. So we're working off that premise.
Yeah.
The quarterback is developing and your defense has been non-existent. So
you want to try later in the show? It's like we're slightly stealing something Waddle and Sylvie did yesterday, but I was enjoying the conversation early in their show yesterday.
Something
after
entertaining from them.
Well, the quarterback draft was fun, and I liked them going back and forth, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, picking the quarterbacks. But like, I wouldn't mind having the exercise with you just trying to rank where he is right now.
Cooper Rush get drafted?
I don't think they ever got to Cooper Rush. They got to like 20 quarterbacks. I think they did five rounds.
Where did Fields go?
Like seventh, which... There was one argument I probably would have had. There was one, and the Twitter mob will come after us for saying it, but I think we sort of hinted at it on Monday, just in specifically redrafting last year's class.
Oh, yeah.
I would still take Trevor Lawrence.
Absolutely.
And Justin, without question, would be number two.
Okay,
but
I agree with you.
They all agreed that Fields should be higher than Lawrence, and I disagree with
that. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is that a learned show?
Well, yeah, Tommy Waddle's a learned football individual.
Is that a learned football show?
Meller is a learned football individual.
So did they take all the stats and throw them in the garbage?
Listen,
I mean, is that what they did?
I think they were a little afraid of the Twitter mob. Did they take
all the stats, all the stuff that you could see with what Jacksonville's been able to do this year?
I think.
I know we don't see them a lot up here. We don't see them a lot, Jacksonville. The milk game doesn't go to Chicago, okay? The milk game goes to just Jayville and maybe like Southern Mobile. Not even the whole city of Mobile, Alabama.
But there is
just
red zone.
Just Southern Mobile.
There is red zone. We see
I understand, but not everybody has red zone either.
Sometimes the mob can be intimidating. I think, and right now, if I go in Twitch, I promise you, we're getting MF'd big time.
Good.
We're not afraid of that mob.
That's right.
So I would still take Trevor Lawrence.
That's right.
Maybe Justin will change my mind by the end of the year. I don't know. They're both still very young.
There is a chance he could change your mind.
Sure.
And you know exactly what needs to be done for that mind to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not
a problem. It's there.
When you're talking about Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence right now, they've played 20 games. Like, this isn't written in stone just yet.
That's right.
It's not. You know what's written in stone? Patrick Mahomes, number one. That's written in stone.
That's stud.
You know?
Deshaun Watson, we don't know. Is Watson coming back? Is he coming up to the league?
2 weeks. Two more weeks.
I might have to go pick him up in one of my fantasy drafts.
What I did totally agree with the guys, if I was listening correctly, and I think I was, their first four picks I totally agree with. And they were going off the premise like, you want the quarterback for the next 5 to 7 years. I think, if I'm not mistaken, their order went Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Burrow. I totally agree. Totally agree. That's the four. I mean, I don't think there's much arguing that.
That's a good combination.
You know, like some people might say Tua, but I still want to see a little bit more out of Tua. Some people might say, I don't know. But, I mean, I think that's the four-pack that I would say, without question,
the next
4 to 7 years.
Without a doubt.
That's who you want. And there is no doubt that Patrick Mahomes is number one.
With that caveat, Brady and Rodgers should not have even been in the conversation,
exactly.
I hope.
Exactly. Sean's in Maywood. What's up, Sean?
Sean, what's up?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? I got a question, and maybe it kind of contributes with the players that we lost. But I'm trying to figure out, how is it the Bears could be the Hall of Fame coach on the road, but then they come here and, you know what I'm saying, they just lay an egg on.
Football's weird, Sean.
Like, talking about biting kneecaps and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, is it scheme? What is it?
Football's
weird. You get out schemed, you know.
Football's weird, Sean. Look, they took advantage of all that extra time they had to prepare for that Monday night game. Remember, they played Thursday night the week before, and then they played Monday night football the following week. That's a huge break.
And here's what
that little mini buy, and they took advantage of it, Shawnee. That's the best answer.
And here's what doesn't help. Block punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay? That doesn't help you. Those are possessions that get stolen away from you.
Boy, right? Bears had that game Sunday.
Yeah. They had it.
They did.
They had it. And then they just gave up a touchdown. The one thing you needed to do was give your defense a chance to go catch a breath and figure out what the hell just happened to them. Oof. And three plays into the damn thing, it's going the other direction for seven.
Yeah, it was rough.
You were just leading 24-10, and now it's tied. I mean, that's a kick in the nads.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're bent over feeling sick.
Bent over grabbing on. Bloody mercy.
It's an awful feeling.
Okay, we'll take more Bears calls coming up. So sit tight with us here at 312-332-3776. You can come after us on Twitch, too. Twitch.tv. Join the chat there. Brought to you all this week by DraftKings. And coming up next, Courtney Cronin's got a Bears update live at house. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin in just a minute here. She's got an update from Hallis. Remember, tonight we've got lesson number 14 already. Whiskey U is back. This month's Whiskey U is happening tonight. I'm going to be out in downtown Plainfield. At Sovereign, going to be there from 6:30 to 8:30. Haven't been there yet. I've heard this place is fantastic and a good space for another one of our lessons. We're going to be drinking Calumet Farm tonight, the 10-year, which is brand new. The 16-year is out. We're going to have some of that. 16-year Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Are you kidding me? And you can sample it and learn about it for free tonight at another Whiskey U. We'll have some food. We'll have some drinks, some cocktails. It's going to be a fun night, so come by and see me. At Sovereign in downtown Plainfield tonight.
I like
right there
Sovereign.
On the river. Yeah, 6:30 to 8:30.
So Saratoga Sovereigns. Sounds like a nickname for a team.
You know, the 16-year, by the way, the Calumet Farm, they named this one in honor of Citation.
Oh, they did?
Whirl Away is on the 15-year, and they put Citation, one of their Triple Crown winners.
You got a bottle for me?
We can probably score you a bottle.
Score me a bottle?
We know some
people,
Yurko.
You know a couple people, maybe?
I did it for Whiskey Wednesday. There's a review on my Instagram. If you go to my Instagram, at Carmen DeFalco 5, that's the number 5. I did a nice lengthy review talking about it, and it is good. If you like those oak bombs, it is.
Oh, boy. I'm an oak bomber. You know I am.
Good.
Yeah.
It is a winter sipper.
A winter sipper?
Yes.
I like that. What's the proof?
It is 106. Sit by the fire, read a good book, and just enjoy a little dram. Couple fingers of
Calumet. Had a couple fashions yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
on a Tuesday. I love
tasty,
it.
Tasty.
It's getting nuts.
With some scallops.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
Uh-huh. What do you think about that?
You make all this, or did you go somewhere?
Yeah, I went someplace.
Let's bring in Courtney Cronin. She joins us every Wednesday with an update. We are looking ahead at the Week 11 matchup here. With the Bears going down to Atlanta, Courtney is brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. I guess we should start with some of the injuries. You know, Jenkins popping up on the injury report late last week, not playing. Now the Khalil Herbert thing. He's got an injury that forced him to go on IR. They lose one of their more explosive playmakers. I wish they'd use him more, but injuries this time of year start to mount. They've been a relatively healthy team, but is it catching up to them a little bit here, Courtney?
Yeah, and obviously the Herbert one is the big news, and it's going to test what's the number one rushing offense in the NFL. Of course, that's been aided the last 4 weeks by Justin Fields and his legs, and that's something you got to keep an eye on, too. That was a topic of conversation today coming off of when he said that his legs felt heavy, that it wasn't the hits he took against Detroit. I mean, he did take hits. Like, he, you know, cut his head open or cut the back of his ear open on that fourth down sack, but, you know, it's going to be a load management sort of thing for Fields to make sure that he can kind of stay fresh with that, you know, lightening some of his load during the week because they're going to be asking him to run. But as it pertains to Herbert, you know, Matt Eberflus did seem pretty optimistic that he could come back at some point this season. He has to stay off for 4 games. So it's the next 3, they have the bye week, and then it's week 15. I think he can come back for week 15. Which is, you know, they're at home, and that's Philadelphia when they come to town. So that would be good. I think it's a great opportunity for a team that while they're not going to say it outwardly, they need to start thinking about 2023 just with some of the players they want to get an evaluation on. And when you have a sixth-round rookie who's played, you know, a little bit here and there, doesn't have over 100 yards on the season, now's the time to operate there. So I'll be really curious to see what that workload looks like. I asked Matt Eberflus just about balancing that when you had Khalil Herbert, who was handling kickoff return. That's actually where he got hurt against the Detroit game. And you also had him as, you know, splitting carries with David Montgomery. Like, do you go ahead and give that huge load to a rookie like Trestan Ebner, or do you try to bring your guy, Velus Jones, in here, Carm? Like, maybe this is the opportunity for him to get back onto the game-day roster, because maybe you don't – and Eberflus, pointed out that's, you know, that's something that they're working through right now. They're trying to figure out how much of a workload can you give a rookie while trying to get a fair evaluation of him, how much is too much, how much is not enough. So that's something to keep an eye on this week, because maybe it's Velus's chance to actually get to play in a game.
That's an interesting call on that, and maybe that gets him back in the good graces. I think there's some worrisome signs when your third round pick can't be active, and it's not like this is a deep receiving core. The way they've used the receivers, and I heard you talking a little bit with Waddle and Sylvie about it yesterday, it's somewhat of a head scratcher. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Pringle signed a 1-year deal. I mean, I'm not sure the if I'm buying that, well, Pringle's back, we got to elevate him and make sure we get him the ball. Equanimeous St. Brown is no doubt an outstanding blocker, no doubt about it. But what are they evaluating here exactly? Like, why are Chase Claypool's snaps going down? Why is N'Keal Harry not active? Like, what are they evaluating, Courtney?
Yeah, and I know that, you know, the Claypool thing, because he did play a considerable amount week one, his first week here against Miami, and then it went down last week. You know, the reasoning after the game was that, oh, he might have been the primary on this play, he might have been the secondary, and he was covered differently. I think Fields shed a good light on it today. They have a very complicated route tree, and that's not something that you can just kind of pick up right away. Of course, you know, like, the basic route tree, but there's a lot of intricacies and details that takes time to learn. And, I mean, we can see it with someone like Velus Jones. It took him a long time, and he had been here since May, to expect that Chase Claypool, and I'm not saying, like, he should have been on the field. He ran six routes. Like, that was that's not a lot. He played 19 snaps last week. He needs to do more than that. But to anticipate that it's going to be a finished product, I think, is putting a little bit too much of the cart before the horse. And so I remember saying it when the day, you know, he got here, that if he played right away against Miami, like, wait until like week 11, week 12 to see how up to speed he's going to be, because that's kind of their MO, working guys in, giving them limited workloads until they're ready to take those training wheels off. But it's not a great look when a guy that you traded a second round pick for, somebody that you traded a seventh round pick for, and N'Keal Harry, you paid Byron Pringle a couple million bucks to be here for a year, and he, you know, has one catch for 12 yards. Like, what are you evaluating? Yeah. Because especially someone like Claypool, who very well could be your leading receiver next year in that room, along with Mooney, like, you got to be able to get them a bigger workload to see what you're actually working with.
Hopefully the relationship between Tevin Jenkins and the Chicago Bears is a good one now. Have these guys found a way to appreciate each other, and is he going to be okay for this weekend?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, because they're practicing. They're going to go stretch indoors, and then they're going to go practice outdoors. I don't really understand the logic behind that, because they're playing in a dome this weekend.
I don't get that at all. That's weird.
I wouldn't be outdoors at all. Sometimes we did this in Minnesota all the time, because, you know, it's like the Arctic Circle up there, so it's always cold. They would practice indoors and leave the doors, like the garage doors to the practice facility, open, and so whenever they could, they wanted to get them off the turf. Like, the Bears don't really have that problem. They play on grass a lot, so it's not, you know, the turf and soft tissue injuries, that's not a huge concern here. I don't know why they're not practicing indoors. It's weird. And it's annoying for beat writers who like to complain about the weather, much like myself. Mm-hmm. But with Tevin, like, I mean, that was a weird injury, because it popped up Thursday of last week, and then he didn't practice, or he was limited, and then he was questionable, and he didn't play. You know, I think for somebody who's had back injuries dating back to the time that he was drafted and had to have surgery, and it kind of derailed things for him, or at least, like, didn't get him off on the right start, that's probably something that you want to monitor to make sure. But, it, you know, at coming off of today, we'll see, does he practice? Does Jalen Johnson practice in full capacity? Because he was dealing with the oblique injury last week, but he still played through it. Like, are these going to be pain tolerance things? Or are they going to be something that's going to hold these guys back? Because you're right, like, we're at week 11. This is when injuries start to mount up for a lot of teams, and the Bears have been relatively healthy up until this point.
Have they found a way to appreciate each other? Because he's a pretty damn good player.
You know, he is. And you couldn't have asked for a better turnaround story. Like, for this thing to work out the way that it did in at a point where we all thought it was going to go end up with, you know, scorched earth, like early on when they were, you know, fielding calls like from teams, but they weren't actively, you know, from everybody I spoke with, like they were fielding calls. They were listening, you know, shopping him. I think that you're going to get a difference in opinion in who you ask about that. But he heard all that stuff. I remember he was not holding back when he talked to us about how it made him feel and, you know, how he wasn't sure what his future was going to be. It feels like his future is going to be with the Chicago Bears because they found somebody at right guard, and just like just how well that worked out when it could have gone so south, and to find an option there who not only helps you as a run blocker but has been pretty good in pass protection for a position he's never played before, I don't see how they can do anything but appreciate that.
How do they walk the fine line here of, you know, you want to build a little confidence, you do want to win some games, you want your players to feel good about themselves, obviously. But at the same time, big picture organizationally, picking in the top 10 is not the worst thing, especially when they're not QB hunting. Like, it's almost like you couldn't ask to be in a better spot. They probably aren't going to be QB hunting in April, Courtney. So how do they sort of navigate these last seven games where you want to do a little of both? You want to be mindful of your future, but you want to get these guys some confidence and win some games. They have a very winnable game again here in week 11, obviously.
Yeah, and that's, you know, this is a team that looks eerily similar from the style of the offense, the fact that Atlanta doesn't have a pass rush. So this is a good chance to go get a win. But, you know, and Matt Eberflus was asked about this at the end of his availability today. Like, how do you, is there going to be a time where you maybe sit a veteran player in favor of a younger player later in the year just to be able to get guys experience? They're not going to say that outwardly. They never will. Mm-hmm. But you can see it within the action, see who's active, see who's not, see what the snap counts are, and then we'll be able to tell. I mean, I anticipate that happening. It has to happen. I mean, there's a, you know, Khalil Herbert injury sucks for him. I mean, it's you know, a hip injury when he was leading the league in 6 yards per carry, but it's a fantastic opportunity now for, you know, the silver lining sort of for this franchise to figure, hey, can we get a good look at Trustin Ebner, figure whether Khalil Herbert and Trustin Ebner are the new Montgomery and Herbert next year if they decide they want to let Montgomery walk, which I tend to think that they will. Mm. So it's a fine line to walk because you, like the thing with the Detroit game, and I know that some people look at this and say, well, no matter what, they have their quarterback. It's nothing to be upset about. The future tomorrow or next year is bright. But you can't give up 14 points in the fourth quarter to the Lions at home and lose that game and feel good about it. Like, that's a winnable game. And there is something to be said about the short term and the long term.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to win. Like, you got to learn how to pull out close games. You got to learn how to have a two-minute offense at the end of games, not just at the end of the first half, but one that can operate and can get you back in games. Like, giving Justin Fields the opportunity to lead a game-winning drive, I cannot tell you how much confidence that would give this offense. It would give any offense in the NFL with a young quarterback to show, hey, I did this. Like, that stuff's important. I don't think that should be lost within the mix of where they want to be drafting, just in terms of the if they want to trade back, that'd be great positioning for them to be in the top 10 because there will be quarterback needy teams.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot to balance, but in the end, if it's a winnable game, I mean, you've got to go down to Atlanta and put up, you know, a fight the way that you did against Detroit, but if you have the opportunity to close them out, you close them out.
I think that's well said. Yurko was making that point on Monday, too. Get your quarterback, your young quarterback, a little confidence and mm-hmm. Yeah, just so he knows to inside. Yeah,
so he feels what it's like to
win. I can do it. I know I can do it. I can lead a game-winning drive. Yeah, for sure. Courtney, great stuff as always. Thanks. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
So, yeah, there's Courtney Cronin. Follow her on Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin. Read her great stuff at ESPN NFL Nation on ESPN.com. And she's brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. We'll be right back.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko show. My guy Carmen had to go out and get a sip of water, but he's back now. Looking mightily resplendent with that lavender shirt on.
Well, I need
some stripes on it, too. I see some pinstripes on that bed.
I needed a nice outfit for Whiskey U tonight. Professors.
I'm thinking about coming
teaching.
Out.
Really?
Well, only because we're going to be in the western suburbs, you and I.
Yes.
Probably may not get out there until 5 o'clock. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe 4 o'clock, 4:30.
4:30.
Do I go 2 hours home, or do I just go down to Plainfield?
You want to just go to Plainfield together?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Not together. I mean, I'm in my own car.
Well, no, I know.
You got your car, but...
We can gather, have a pregame cocktail.
Right, have a pregame cocktail. Maybe pick up my bottle of 16 right there. Who do I got to kill? Who do I have to convince? I'm sorry.
I love pregame cocktailing with Yurko before an event anytime. Oh, yeah. So I'm up for that if you want to do that.
You know, the dilemma is you can only maybe have one. You couldn't really have more than two.
Yes.
If you're making a long drive down 80 trying to come home.
Because you got to drive home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even
you gotta be
even
careful.
One for some lightweights is very risky.
You're not a lightweight. You're a big, beefy, burly individual.
Theoretically, but alcohol hits the system the way it hits the system, Carl.
That's true. I hope everyone has taken an opportunity to check out Crosstalk Unhinged, because this week's pod was spectacular. So good feedback rolling in on social media. And even Zetterman, who's a tough critic, said, well done. I mean, he came in with a round of applause.
For those who haven't listened yet, any topics you guys cover?
Wow.
All types.
Maybe three topics you could give us?
Somehow Yurko had Waddle and Sylvie becoming the Wiener Kings of Chicago.
Wiener Kings of Chicago.
Okay, talking
maybe,
hot dogs.
Maybe
okay.
Some other fluid that they maybe could...
mustard, ketchup?
Something that Sylvie could brand because he's an expert in it.
That he could become an expert in.
Right, yes. Yeah. That men can use to help satisfy themselves.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Yurko just...
I came out of left field.
Loose. I mean,
what a suggestion.
The expression.
When they're talking about tasting coffee or pizza or becoming the experts
about.
In the regard, I threw a suggestion out there from left field.
What was impressive to me was that he's... Well, not only your suggestion, but what you admitted you did yesterday. I was very
twice.
I mean, he's a 55-year-old guy. I'm very impressed.
A couple workouts there, Yurko?
I'm not going to lie.
It's all part of my flexibility training, guys.
I love Yurko, but it's not surprising that he comes in as tired as he is some days.
Well, that's not true, because theoretically the testosterone replacement
low T
is what's really working well for you there.
I was very impressed. I'm not going to lie. I was like, wow, really?
There's a whole book on that, by the way.
Twice.
That subject and competition and the relationship between the two.
I thought they used to say bye, but they say don't do it.
That was women weaken legs.
Yeah, right. That was the old before a game or a race that you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but Jake LaMotta, right? Raging Bull. Doesn't Jake LaMotta say you can't? Don't touch me.
There have been studies out there.
Yeah?
And I'm telling you, I read a book, and it's got it cites a bunch of different testing materials.
Really?
Talking about the effects or the non-effects of that type of activity before you participate in competition.
So it's potentially good? That's what you're saying?
I'm just saying there's a whole book out on it that you can read.
Oh, sports science.
Yeah, some sort of sports science book that's out there.
Really? Do you know the name of the book?
This is not this is not the Sun-Times.
I'm sort of interested.
Not a pamphlet.
Yurk knows what it's all about. Clear eyes, full heart.
Clear eyes, full heart.
Can't lose.
That should be the name of the book.
Clear pipes, full heart.
Clear something, right?
I would love to read this book, but anyway, check out Unhinged on the ESPN Chicago app.
Relationship between competition.
I think we'd have to move up our daily meeting.
And make it love. And make it whooping.
Might have to. George is in River Grove on ESPN 1000 talking Bears. What's up, George?
George, are you there?
George?
Hello, George. This is Ground Control calling Major George.
George going once. To Major Tom.
George going twice. George is no longer
with us.
I'll
put him back on hold to see. Now we got another George calling on another line. I don't think it's the same guy.
He may have put himself on hold and didn't even know.
Maybe
it.
He did. I don't know.
He's gone now.
I'll try again. Hold on. George.
George, are you there?
I'm there.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Well, you got an hour?
He's got the radio in the
George,
background.
You
got
to make sure the radio's turned
down. Yeah, turn the radio down just while you're on. That's all.
I'm in a room where there's another radio playing.
Oh, and the radio.
Listening to two radio shows at the same time.
Go over there and turn it to ESPN 1000.
That's right. Is Roy Orbison singing for the lonely? Hey, that's me and I want you only. The radio playing is
George,
in that.
George, what would you like to talk about, buddy?
Well, I look at this team, and I watch other games, and I say to myself, this team is no better, no worse than 20 other teams. Hmm. They can pass for 60 yards. They can run for 60 yards on a play. They can throw for 60 yards. They can score a 60-yard play. You know, they're in the ball game. They're no better or worse than any other team. So now you go to the coaching, and you say to yourself, at the most critical moment in the game, when you need to pick a good play, you need to come up with a good play, the coaches crap out. Mm. They could have won, instead of being 3-7, they could be 7-3, as bad as they are. And out of one side of your mouth, you tell me that the line is terrible, and out of the other side of your mouth, you say they're the best rushing team in the league. You can't have it both ways.
Well, sure you can.
Yeah, and not only that, but you got to dissect that out. Anytime I talk about rushing teams, I talk about running backs only and not quarterbacks.
And running backs
if your quarterback is your number one rusher on the team, sometimes that's designed run, but most of the time it's scramble.
But run blocking and pass blocking are two different things, George.
What's wrong with that? Here's the thing that killed me. They get down on the 1 foot line and they put every player in a space where you could cover them with a horse blanket, okay? And then they try to go right up the middle. That's insanity. It doesn't work.
Yeah, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to spread people out, and then I'm going to try to go ahead and increase them like that.
Is there another specific play you're thinking of that really annoyed you, like from Sunday? First of all, they've been much more efficient in the red zone, so you got to give them credit for that. They broke some tendency. They've been a little bit more dynamic in the red zone. What specifically stands out, George, from the play calling?
Okay. It's the most critical moment. I can't remember the game. It's the most critical moment of the game. It's the fourth down. You walk up to the line of scrimmage. Everyone looks at each other like they just got off the boat from Mars. What am I doing here?
I don't know. Listen, George, thank you. And there were some moments early in the season where, yeah, you could have questioned a few things. I think Getsy did well with the mini buy that they did have. I think their play calling has been a little bit better. I think they have broke tendency a little bit more. Are they still predictable? Yeah, they run the ball a lot. They don't have a lot of weapons. They do a lot of design run stuff with Justin, which has helped them, but they run a lot on first down. They run a lot, you know, and to me, your best offenses don't run it a lot on first down, believe it or not. They throw it a lot. They just do, because throwing is going to net you more yards on average than running.
Especially on first and 10 out of regular personnel.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little more nuance to it. You got to give me the personnel that it's going to come out of. Because if it's first and 10, you're in regular, most of the time it's 75% run, 75 to 80% run that you're going to go ahead and do it. 2 out of 10, 2.5 out of 10, you're going to do it. Now, if you start doing it 7 out of 10 times, now you're reversing that trend out of regular personnel. If you come out on first and 10 and you got 3 wides, well, I'm already sneaking. You're running me. 70%, you're going to throw the ball. 30%, you're going to run the ball. Right? And those statistics go on throughout everywhere where you can take a look at it. You come out on first and 10, you're in 4 wides.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's 95% pass.
Of course.
5% run. I mean, it's a little more nuanced. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, and that's fine. I mean, teams that do throw the ball a little bit more, though, out of various personnel groupings, early downs tend to be the more efficient offenses. Yeah. They just do. And I think the Bears have tried to break a few of those tendencies. They're just not a very dynamic offense yet, even though Justin is a dynamic player. Make no mistake. We'll continue the conversation on the other side of the break. 312-332-ESPN. We're back in 2 minutes.